The book of Joshua, chapter 1, contains some of those very encouraging words as the Lord begins to commission his servant Joshua and to send him out to do a work for him. If you take a look there in chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." The Lord is rehearsing here the promises that he has already given to his people. And now through his servant Joshua, the outworking of that will be seen. In verse number 9, he says to him in chapter 1, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And even, believer, this morning, those are words that bring great comfort to us. Many times as we face difficulty or trial, it's good even to again look at those words. The Lord says, "Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid." We have a God who does not deal in fear. But he says to his children, "Be not afraid." And that's what he desires of us even this morning. That's what he would have for us today. And as we look at this particular chapter, you can see that despite the fact that Joshua has been given this great commission, despite the fact that Joshua has been given the promise that he will divide unto the people the inheritance in this particular land in which they find themselves, we can see here Joshua is a man who is conscientious, a man who is careful in his dealings on the day-to-day basis. And as Joshua is in charge of this army that will begin its assault upon the land of Jericho, Joshua also begins his strategy and how he will begin this assault. And so he sends out his spies to spy out the land. And you know, friends, God has given us many promises. God perhaps has promised us even things regarding our families, that they will be saved. Perhaps even that we will have opportunity to be involved in a work for God. But when it comes down to the practicalities, we must also be conscientious in fulfilling our responsibilities. And Joshua here is careful to send out the spies to spy out the land of Jericho so he can gain that intelligence, as it were, of how he can best make his war. And he sends out these two men, and they find themselves, when they come into the land of Jericho, after they've gone the 7 or 8 miles that they had to travel through the rough terrain, they come to Jericho. They manage to get in initially undetected, and they go to the house of this woman called Rahab. And immediately, as we're introduced to her, we understand that here is a woman of ill repute. She is certainly a woman who is not of moral upstanding within the land of Jericho, within that particular city. But it is to this particular place that these spies find themselves. And you know, friends, no encounter in the Word of God is ever by chance. No encounter in Scripture is ever by chance. And even this morning in Bible class, as we were thinking about it, even the fact that you're here this morning is not by chance. And you may say, "Well, I come here every week." But maybe this morning God wants to speak to you specifically today. Maybe God has a special message for you this morning from His truth. Nothing is ever by chance. And as we're met with this woman Rahab, there's a few things I want to share with you. I want to think initially about Rahab's personality. And we're told here a number of things about this woman. Now, as we go through the chapter, you can see that whenever the king's soldiers come and they knock upon the door, it's not long before the spies are detected. Someone has seen them coming and they understand who these men must be. And the king sends out his soldiers to go and arrest them. And what does Rahab do? She hides the men upon the flax, up upon the roof of the house. And here is a little insight into what this woman is doing. And if you recall from the book of Proverbs chapter 31, it tells us there about the virtuous woman, the woman who is at the other end of the spectrum to Rahab. We read there about what are the qualifications of a godly, upright woman. And one of them, in Proverbs 31 verse 13, it says, "She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh diligent," or "worketh willingly with her hands." And I wonder here, Is this a trait that Rahab is now perhaps trying to follow? Maybe here's a woman that is tired of the sin and the wickedness of the life that she once followed. Here's a woman that is maybe wanting to put all that to the background. Maybe she's trying, as we would say in this land, to turn over a new leaf. She's beginning to maybe work willingly with her hands. And maybe she's trying to reform her character. Friends here this morning, perhaps there's someone here and that's a bit like you. Maybe there's the past life that you are ashamed of. Maybe there's things that you have done in your youth and young adulthood that you would gladly forget and want no one else to remember either. And maybe by your own initiative you're trying to reform your character. Remember this morning that the Word of God reminds us that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Word of God says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners in the sight of God. Just in the same way as Rahab was here, just in the same way as everyone in that city was a sinner with their back against God. And no initiative, no turning over of a new leaf can atone for the sins that we have done. If you remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what did they try to do? They made the fig leaves to cover themselves when they fell into sin. But that was not sufficient. And that was not enough. And no matter what Rahab was now doing, it could never atone for the sins that she had once committed. And not only is there Rahab's personality, there's Rahab's place. Where did she find herself? She found herself in a very wicked and evil city. The name Jericho, some translations of that word render it as moon, because of the idea that the people there worshipped the moon as one of the various other pagan religions that they followed after. And this particular city as well, even despite the fact that it was completely against God and the things of His Word, it was one of the most defended cities in that particular time. It's believed that there was in fact two walls around the city of Jericho. It was in an elevated position as well. And if you read later on in the book of Joshua, the soldiers were told to go up and to take the city. It was that idea that they had to advance up a hill. It was well guarded. It was well looked after. It was well fortified. And I'm sure there was many within that city who were hoping against hope that the walls of that city would be their defense. That yes, they had heard that the children of Israel were on their way, but surely we're defended. We're looked after. And you know, friends, this morning, there's a danger in looking to that which is around us. Now, maybe this morning, again, I'm speaking to someone and you're not saved, but you have built a wall around your life. You have built the wall of self-respectability. You have built the wall of your good reputation. You have built the wall around you of good works, and to be honest, that's what you're hoping in. That's what you're trusting in. You're maybe trusting in the wall of a good family name or church attendance or some other thing. If you remember the story of what happens here, whenever the children of Israel came and advanced in the city, the walls were the first thing that went. The walls were the first thing to disappear. And we sung that hymn this morning, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." There is no other refuge. There is no other safety for the child of God, for anyone in this world in which we live, to base your whole eternity. The only thing is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not this morning, friend, trust in any other thing. No matter what it is, we dare not rely upon our good works. We dare not rely upon all those things that we have around us. Our family, good name, and all those sorts of things cannot avail. Some people like to put their trust in public opinion. Well, what's everyone else doing? Surely so many people in the world cannot be wrong. We've even seen that in the past week. Or you maybe have an entire nation almost voting to go in a certain way which is entirely against the teachings of the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction,
And many there be which go in thereat. There is no safety in numbers. Friends, this morning, there's safety only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would speak to you this morning, friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to put your faith and trust in the Savior. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in the walls that you have built around your life. You need to trust only in the Lord. But I want you to see as well here a concern that Rahab had. Take a look at verses 9 through to 11. And she said unto the men, now here's things that Rahab knows. She says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Why? Why? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Why? For the Lord, your God, He is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab had begun to realize something so vitally important, that it wasn't just the children of Israel that she needed to be concerned about. It was their God that she needed to be concerned about. It was the very God of heaven and earth that she needed to be concerned about. And that's why she says there, for the Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And what was the consequence? She says there in verse 11 as well. She says, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Here's a wicked and a pagan society, and they are afraid because they've heard about what the Lord can do. Friends, is that not what we need today? Is that not what we need in this country in which we live today? We need a society that begins to realize what God can do. A society that needs to realize we are answerable to this God. And it is my prayer that our society would begin to get its eyes opened to the things of God. We have seen in recent times how the Word of God has been set to one side, how God's people have been set to one side. And yet here is a wicked and a pagan city. And whenever they hear about the Lord and His great work, there's no more strength left in them. And outside these four walls this morning, there is a world that has its back to God, and they need to hear. And that's a challenge for me this morning, because that means that I need to go and I need to take the Word of God outside these four walls. I need to be a witness where I live, in my home. I need to be a witness where I live, in my area. I need to be a witness for God where I live, or where I work, or wherever God has placed me. Because there's a world out there that needs to hear about God. If we ever want this society to be changed and turned around for the Lord, they need to hear, friends. They need to hear. And that's what had happened to Rahab here. She had heard. The people had heard. News had got through. I don't know how it had got through, but they had heard the message of the gospel, of the Word of God, that the Lord was on His way. And you know, here we have as well, not only do we see in this particular chapter the concern that Rahab had and the place that she lived, but we also see the plea that Rahab makes. And you can see there in verse 12 and 13, just those words. She says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Can you hear the urgency that's in her voice as she speaks to these men? Can you imagine just what it was like for Rahab to be in this particular place, in a particular home? These men come through the door, but they're not like any other men that she has dealt with before. She understands that here are men of God. Here are servants of the Lord in probably the most unlikely of places. But they've been directed there. They've come to that particular moment in time. And Rahab almost, I'm sure, she's realizing this is the work of God. These men have come across my path. And as they come across her path, she makes this plea. Not just for herself, but for all of her family. And you can see how she names them. She names her mother, her father, her mother, her brethren, her sisters, and all that they have. There's a desire, a concern here. This is not just about me. There's my family. There's my friends that need to be saved. And there is an urgency in her voice, even as she brings those words. And I wonder this morning, friend, perhaps you're here and you're not saved. You need to have that urgency as well in terms of your life. And if you take a look at that particular chapter, you can see of how that Rahab was going to be saved. As you take a look through the portion of the Word of God that we read, what she does there in verse 15, it says she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And then she directs the men, she tells them where to go, she gives them this information that will keep them safe and secure as they make their way back to Joshua. Verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou dost let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and thy sisters, or brethren and thy father's household home unto thee. And the idea was that as long as they were within the confines of that house, so long as the scarlet cord was tied in the window, that would be an indication that this house would not be touched by the destruction that would come. And it's interesting that the very cord that was used to bring the spies to a place of safety would be the very same cord that would be used to ensure that Rahab and her family were brought to safety. And that scarlet cord, of course, friends, speaks of the precious blood of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right through from the book of Genesis, whenever we think of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden, and God had to slay the animals to make the coats of skins to clothe Adam and Eve, that idea of the precious blood carries the whole way through Scripture. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Rahab, I'm sure, would have been very familiar with the practice of how that cord would have been dyed, of how the insect known as the Coccus alictus, it would go, the very last thing it would do in its life cycle would be to attach itself to a tree, to lay its eggs, and then at that moment it would die. Those eggs would be protected. And then people would go and they would gather up those carcasses, and from that they would make the dye, which was then used to dye the cord the scarlet colour. And the idea was that in death, this was then the means by which the cord would be dyed. And it's only through the death of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I are brought to a place of spiritual safety. It's only through that precious blood, as we said this morning, it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin. It's through that precious blood that we have peace, and we know through the peace of His cross that we have rescue and that we have safety. And I'm sure as Rahab looked upon that, she maybe had heard as well of how the children of Israel in the time of Passover, they put the blood upon the doorpost and on the lintel. And she thought, yes, this is the way of God. This is the way that I am to be saved. And I want you to see something as well. Whenever you look there in the verse number 21, it says, and she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Note here, there's no delay. There's no waiting period. There's no, I'll think about it and do it tomorrow. Rahab knew all too well that destruction was on its way, but she had no idea when that destruction would come. And here she is, the plan has been explained to her. Her rescue is based on something. It's based on a promise that was given to her. That promise was given to her by these particular servants. A promise and a seal. And the seal was the seal of the cord in the window. And that's just how, friends, you and I are saved as well. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The Lord Jesus Christ promises, if we come to him, he will take us in, he will save us. And we are saved only through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blood that courses through your veins this morning, it touches every organ in your being, every organ in your body. And so too we need something that will save and cleanse us from every defilement of sin. Sin has touched every aspect of humanity. We are totally depraved from that aspect and that point of view. And it's only through the blood of Christ that we can be saved. And Rahab doesn't hold back. Rahab doesn't put it off. She's standing there. The cord is in her hands. And she ties it in the window. And I fear this morning that perhaps in our service today, there's someone here and you have heard the word of God. You have heard of all the great things that God has done. You have heard faithfully from this pulpit week by week, even over the last number of weeks, on the being of God and the knowing God himself and all his attributes. You know all about the Lord. You've heard testimony of God's people as they've explained how they've been saved and redeemed and changed. You know the word of God inside out. You know that you need to trust and have the blood applied to your heart. And yet you haven't done it. And this morning, the means of security is, as it were, within reach. Friend, will you not come today? Will you not trust Christ today? Everywhere in the scripture, we are told time and time again, there is no promise of salvation tomorrow. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, friends, we read of all the way through the Word of God in different instances of Rahab and how she's mentioned there. If you turn over to Hebrews and the chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, we read there of Rahab. Verse number 31, it says, by faith, Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had what? Received the spies with peace. Received the spies with peace. Some people will say, well, surely did Rahab not tell a lie? Was she not deceptive in what she said? And yes, she did. But the Word of God does not excuse sin. The Word of God does not excuse the fact that Rahab was a harlot. The Word of God does not excuse the fact that Rahab sinned from the point of view of deceiving the soldiers. Remember, the Word of God speaks very much in terms of the devil being a liar from the beginning. No lie is of the truth. And when it comes to speaking about Rahab here, I think it's wonderful the way the Word of God portrays what she did. It portrays those very positive things. Now, here's a woman, and she's only coming to faith in Christ. She doesn't know everything about the Word of God or about the life of faith. We're all like that, are we not? We've all made mistakes. Even in the Christian life, we've failed the Lord. We've let the Lord down. We've done those things that are displeasing to him. We've stumbled on the way, even as a young believer, just as a little child, as we see the little child beginning to try to get to its feet and to walk. It'll walk for a few steps and it'll stumble and fall. You don't just let it lie there. You go, you pick it up and you help it to move on. And the same way in the Christian life, friends, there's times that you and I have failed God. Even as believers, we've done those things that have failed him and brought dishonor to his name. And you know, the Lord is gracious and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Word of God in these other chapters doesn't mention the fact that Rahab deceived. Or Rahab did something wrong. No, it says she received the spies with peace. It looks at that particular instance in her life. And it commends her for what she did. Turn over to James chapter 2 as well. And later on in the book of James here, we can see James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? So it goes a little further than what the book of Hebrews tells us. She received the messengers. She received their message. But what she does, she sent them out another way. She told them to go in a certain direction so that they would be able to escape and get back to Joshua again. But again, the word of God draws a veil over that which perhaps was not right, was not appropriate. And friends, this morning it's a wonderful thing to know that our sin is taken away through the blood of Christ. Those things that we have done wrong and are stumbling and are stammering, I believe God knows the intention of our hearts when we try to do something that's right for Him, which of course Rahab did. Sometimes we don't always get it right. And sometimes we feel embarrassed by the things that we do for God. But God is not unfaithful to forget our work and labour of love for Him. And He encourages us to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning as a believer. Maybe you've let the Lord down in the past week. Maybe even through the best of intentions, you did something that caused embarrassment or even caused despite to the name of the Lord. Will you seek the Lord and ask Him for His forgiveness? But as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That is the message of the Scriptures here this morning. And in this Word of God, there's many other things we could look at in the life of Rahab. But I just want very quickly to mention one or two other things here. What about Rahab after the spies had gone? After the spies had gone, I think one vital thing changed in the life of Rahab. Rahab was now safe. Rahab was now secure. But you know, friends, this morning, salvation is not some sort of afterlife insurance policy. It's not just about eternity, though that is so vital. But what about the here and now? How do we serve God in the light of the fact that the blood has been applied, that salvation and redemption have been brought? The first thing is that Rahab's vision was changed. Every day now when she looked out the window, she got a different vision. Every day when she looked out the window, she saw the cord. And it reminded her of this: I'm saved. I'm redeemed. But as she looked out the window and she saw that cord, she looked beyond and she saw a city that was lost. A city that was headed for destruction. And first and foremost, she thinks of her family. Because if you think about it, whenever these spies left, they gave her a commission. That she was to go and to bring her family home unto her. And the same way the Lord Jesus Christ, before He left, He gave us a commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. This was not a time for idleness or laziness or sitting back and waiting for the destruction to come. Rahab needed to be up and doing for the Lord, to get her family in. And that's, friends, where our work of evangelism begins. It's in the home and it's in the family. It's the most difficult place on earth to evangelize. But that's where God calls us. And that's what Rahab's task was here, to see her family won. And you know, as we look through that chapter, whenever it comes to the end of the life, if you like, of Jericho, we understand that Rahab's family was saved, that Rahab's family was brought in. Now you can imagine how difficult it was going to be for her to go and to speak to her family. Perhaps because of the life that she had once lived, she was maybe shunned by them, she was pushed to one side, but she still goes and she speaks to them and she persuades them. And all she has, friends, is a promise from God. And her own testimony of what has happened. And that's all that we have as well. We have the Word of God. We have our own testimony. And we have the promises and His truth as we go and we speak to others. And let us be up and doing for the Saviour, even in these days. And as we end this morning, we can see here Rahab's security. And if you turn over just to Joshua chapter 6 this morning. Joshua chapter 6. We can ask the question, well, did destruction come? Of course it did. Did Joshua and his soldiers arrive at this particular city? Of course they did. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is accurate. And just in the same way as the flood was foretold in the days of Noah, did the flood come? Of course it did. Did the Lord Jesus Christ come when He was prophesied? Yes, of course He did. And one day He will return again, just as it has been told in the Word of God. And just in this case as well, Jericho falls. Was Rahab spared? Of course she was. She was saved. She was redeemed. She was brought out. Why? Because of the cord that was in the window. She had remained true to what she had been told. She had gathered her family into that place. And you know, friends, this morning, that is the greatest thing that can happen to you in life, is that you find yourself as a believer, saved and redeemed and awaiting the coming of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is that the fact that Rahab and her family were saved and that they were preserved and they were given a place to live in the land of Israel. Verse 21 of Joshua chapter 6 says, "The young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel." They were saved. They were redeemed. And maybe you're here this morning and there was that time in your life when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then maybe the doubts and the fears and the trials of the enemy come in. And you know, friends, the devil just wants to destroy you. Let's put it this way. Let's put it bluntly. The devil wants to take you away from him, away from the Lord. The devil wants you to get sidetracked into some other thing. And maybe this morning you're thinking, am I really saved? You know, what's going on in my life? Will the Lord really receive me? Will the Lord really take me to heaven? Well, here's a woman here. And she listened to the promise of God. She trusted in the blood. And at the end of her life, she finds herself in the place of safety that she was promised. And God will not forget his promises to you, his children. Philippians 1 and 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And that is the security that Rahab saw. But not only that, she had a future. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 1, and the book of Matthew, we read some of the genealogies, and I suppose, to be honest, sometimes we go past these very quickly when we see lists of names in the Word of God. But if you look at Matthew chapter 1, the wonderful thing here is that Rahab is mentioned again in this particular chapter. And if you take a look through the genealogy, it starts there in verse 2 with Abraham. And it works its all the way down to showing us how the Lord Jesus Christ came through this particular lineage. And all of the names mentioned are generally male, but there's four female names mentioned in that particular chapter. And two of them were what I suppose we would call strangers to Israel. There's one called Rahab. That's another way of verse 5 there. That's just another spelling of Rahab. And then there's also Ruth as well. If you remember Ruth the Moabitess, who was brought back from the land of Moab. She was a stranger. Rahab was a stranger and a harlot to boot as well. The other two women as well that are mentioned are Tamar and then also Bathsheba. She's mentioned as being the wife of Urias. And you know, these are people who were not the most upstanding in their society at that time. They'd failed God. They had gone in the wrong direction. But here the Lord takes them and uses them even as part of the lineage that he would choose to send his son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. Rahab is found there. Verse 5, "Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse." And you see that, friends, this morning the lesson here is, despite our past, despite the wickedness of what we have done, God can take the greatest of sinners and make them into saints that he will use in his work for him and for his glory. Never despise your work and labour for God, because God can use you in ways that you could not even imagine. And whenever Paul was speaking to the believers there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." What a list of the greatest of sins that we could ever imagine. And then Paul points to the believers in that church and he says, "And such were some of you." and such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And that was the same for Rahab as well. She could have listed herself in that great list there, but she could also say, that's what I was. But now I am washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Tell me, friend, this morning, is that your experience? Are you washed? Are you sanctified? Are you justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God? Are you delaying this morning in coming to Him? The Word of God has again, just like the cord that was presented to Rahab, it's been presented to you again this morning. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to accept it? Are you going to take it? Are you going to trust Christ? Or are you going to delay? I trust this morning that you will come and accept Christ as your Savior. We're going to finish this morning, please, by singing the words of hymn number 58. Number 58, Jesus the Name. High over all in hell, or earth or sky, angels and men, before it fall, and devils fear and fly. That last verse says, His only righteousness I show, His saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb. And that's a challenge for us as God's people as well, to be out and to be proclaiming the message of salvation. Well, stand while we sing this hymn, please.